we're a little bit ahead of the curve. We believe that we have already in advance identified the things that will make us happy. And just in case God hasn't caught on yet, it's that thing, God. That thing will make me happy. I'd like you to give me, and this thing over here, God, this would make me happy. And I would like you to give me this thing and that thing and those things because they would make me happy.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
Good morning. How many of us have prayed last night, this morning, for God's blessing? It's good. Good. And I certainly do. I routinely pray for God's blessing on my family, on my congregation, on my country, on my community, and on myself. I want to be blessed too. And that's good. We should all want to be blessed. And we have a general understanding of what we mean when we say that, I want to be blessed. It means that we want the things that will make us happy. And we pray to God for them because we hope that God will give us the things that will make us happy. And sometimes we think we're a little bit ahead of the curve. We believe that we have already in advance identified the things that will make us happy. And just in case God hasn't caught on yet, it's that thing, God. That thing will make me happy. I'd like you to give me, and this thing over here, God, this would make me happy, and I would like you to give me this thing, and those things, because they would make me happy. And sometimes we pray more wisely. God, give me the things that you already know would make me happy. And sometimes our prayers become most wise when we realize that God is what makes us happy. That having a relationship with Him is what makes us happy. That being near to Him, being in His will, is what makes us happy. And so we pray for God to send us the things that will draw us closer to Him, because He makes us happy. But in the grand scheme of things, we do continue to entertain some consistent, persistent notions of the things that we would like to be blessed with. And raise your hand if you agree with me. Prosperity is better than poverty. Yeah. Good health, better than bad health. Safety, better than peril. I've used that word ever since the Ice Age movies came out. You know the Ice Age movies with the cartoon mammoth and all that stuff? I always remember when that first came out, they rated them PG for mild peril. Okay. Safety is better than peril. And freedom is better than constraint. We all know these things. So with that as a yardstick of sorts, prosperity, health, safety, freedom, let me ask you this question. Has God blessed us? I think we have to answer yes. I think that we in this congregation would have to answer yes. I believe that all of us as Americans would have to answer yes if prosperity and health and safety and freedom are any kind of measure at all, God has blessed us. We enjoy a lot of prosperity. When service is over, you might look out that north door as you leave, look across the parking lot at the barn, and you would rightly think to yourself, what a nice barn. What a nice big barn. And you might think to yourself, we could never fill that thing up, but you would be wrong. You come around during barn sale time, and you will see that every year, year after year, we fill that barn full just with stuff we don't want anymore. And then half of us take home half of the stuff that the other half didn't want. And it's all okay, but the point is, we have lots of stuff. We've become prosperous. We're living longer and enjoying more health these days. 70 is the new 50. You know, on the one hand, they don't say it out loud, but on the one hand, the government hates this. You may not realize it, but if you go back and look, when they first set up Social Security, the age at which you began to receive benefits was calculated to mark the last year and a half, 2 years of your life. Because that was the life expectancy. So you pay in for 40 years and you draw out for 18 months. What a program! Who could have predicted that our lifespan would increase so dramatically? But it has. This is good. We are living longer, healthier lives. We have for a long time enjoyed an almost unheard of degree of safety and a certainly unheard of degree of freedom. A lot of times we worry that all this is beginning to unravel, but hold on to that for a little bit. We have to admit that if prosperity, health, safety, and freedom are the measures historically and presently individually, we have been blessed. So here's another question. I want you to think about this one good and hard and answer honestly, if only to yourself. We have been blessed. Has it made us happy? That's a little trickier. I'll give you my observation. The people who have drawn close to God are happy. The people who understood that the safety and the health and the prosperity and the freedom were incidentals that lead us closer to the God we love, those people are happy. The people who thought that the blessing was only contained and entirely constrained by those incidentals, much less so. People who think that happiness is only in the money itself become, over time, increasingly greedy and grasping. People who think that the happiness, the blessing, is only in the safety itself, become increasingly fearful and paranoid. People who believe that the blessing is entirely constrained by the freedom itself will grow more and more resentful of authority and intrusion. But the people who let these things draw them close to God, those people will be happy. This is my observation. I realize I'm a biased source. You take that for what it's worth and make your own observations. But let's individualize rather than generalize for a moment. As we stressed last week when we considered the whole divine healing thing, any healing that we receive here and now in this world is temporary, barring the kind of accident or illness that snatches us out of this life in our youth. We will, every last one of us, age, sicken, and die. It is a given. I have known thousands of people who enjoyed years, decades of strength and good health, and then it failed. And this is just to say that I have known thousands of people who are older than myself, and my time is upon me. The ones who drew close to God during the years of their strength, again, this is my observation, have maintained happiness during the years of their decline. Now, understand what I'm saying and what I'm not. I'm not saying that these people enjoy pain or weakness or increasing debility. They do not enjoy those things, but those things, the loss of health and strength, are unable to kill their happiness. As I find it best expressed, and I've known people who have exactly this attitude, hey, God blessed me with years of strength, and I loved it, but this is what we all come to. And I will serve Him for as long as I can. And then I will meet Him face to face, beyond age and weakness. Those who thought the blessing was only in, was entirely contained by the strength and the health, are completely dismayed. I can't believe my strength abandoned. My health is gone. What am I going to do now? It's not fair. All those years of work, and now when I can finally relax and start enjoying myself. And believe me, it's not that I don't sympathize with their distress. I do. But this is what we all come to in this life. And if the blessing is in the walk with God, well, you can answer this question. If the blessing is in the walk with God, can we walk with Him in the days of our strength and health? Can we also walk with Him in the days of our weakness and decline? The blessing remains the same. And certainly people like Johnny Erickson Tada have found blessing in lives spent almost entirely without strength. And the mobility that we take for granted at all. People have gained money and lost money, and while the one is preferable to the other, those who learned to walk with God in the gains did not lose their happiness in the losses. And again, I don't mean that they like losing money, but losing money is different when you don't think that the blessing was only in the having of money to begin with. Oh, consider the case of the man who would have looked across the parking lot at our barn and concluded we just need to build a bigger one that we can't fill up. Oh, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And then whose shall all these things be? All of this has served as an extended introduction, and now I am actually ready to comment on Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us, the psalmist begins. And it's plain if you read the whole psalm that he's talking about security and prosperity, a safe place among the nations, harder to come by than we have realized from our position. And general increase in the produce of land, translating into lots to eat and then some to sell for money to meet other needs. This is what the psalmist wants when he prays for God's blessing on him and his people. And why should the psalmist or his people desire such things? We understand because we like being full better than we like being hungry. We like being prosperous better than we like being destitute. We like being safe better than we like being in peril. All these things are in the mix. We understand them. But there's also this: cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. We continue to work our way through the entire book of the Psalms in bits and snatches here and there. If God allows, this year we should hit about the halfway point in this project. Because the project is so scattered, I try to remind you from time to time of the general principles that I employ in trying to understand the Psalms. One is that the best understanding of the Psalms comes from a progressive understanding. Progress is made in the body of the Psalms. Things are learned in the course of praising God and writing down the praises this way for generations. Sometimes and especially earlier on in the Psalms, and you might remember some of these that we hit, though it's been a while, because as I say, this project gets scattered. Sometimes you hit a lot of vindictive notes early in the Psalms. God blesses His people and grinds all those pagan nations down into powder. See how God blesses us? Oh, you pagans, eat your hearts out and die in dust and despair. If not exactly that, close. Close in some of the earlier Psalms, but the body of the Psalms progresses in a different direction and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O Lord. Let all the peoples praise You. What a concept. On the one hand, the blessing the psalmist craves has to do with prosperity and national security. But in the end, these are seen as incidentals showered upon a people whose real blessing is that they get to walk with God. And part of the point is that the other see the incidentals, because those other peoples like prosperity and health and safety and freedom just as much as we do. And when they see the incidentals, they would think, hey, maybe we could walk with God. And if they do, they're likely to discover that walking with God was the real deal all along. No more of this eat your hearts out stuff. Come and walk with God and learn to sing for joy. God blesses our people with these incidentals so that all the other peoples can see it and come to God and find out what real blessing is. I know that there were thousands of psalms written to praise God in the sanctuary service of the nation of Israel in the days of the Davidic kingdom. Probably tens of thousands of psalms written in that time, and only 150 of them made the cut to appear in the book for the ages. Now, I'd just like you to think for a moment of all the songs and hymns and choruses that we have sung in the church just in your lifetime, never mind if we have to make it a generational thing that would actually correspond to the Davidic kingdom, just in your little lifetime, all the songs and hymns and choruses that we have sung in the church, and think about picking 150 to be preserved for future generations to explain our relationship with God. You think, Amanda, you want that editing project? No, me neither. Only 150 psalms in the book for the ages. And I am so glad that Psalm 67 made the cut. There was a time when we as Americans understood this sentiment better. Some argue now whether or not it ever was appropriate to refer to our nation as a Christian nation, given our positions on religious freedom and the separation of church and state, and I'll leave you to work that out on your own. But at least once we had a different understanding of what it meant when we called America the shining city on the hill. Hey, all you other nations out there, especially you nations where people are boiling tree bark to make some kind of soup so that they don't starve to death. There is money and safety and security here in America, but it's all in the walk with God. That's the secret. Go back to our founding. Who is the creator and guarantor of all our rights and freedoms? It is God. You could walk with Him too. That would make all the difference. We've taken a lot of steps in the wrong direction. I pay attention. And if we have a similar statement for the nations today, it seems to be this: try democracy, it will get you everything you want. Oh, forlorn hope. You see, the problem with any system of government is that it's carried out by fallen, sinful human beings, and it is influenced by Satan, the great enemy of all our souls, and no system of government, absent a walk with God, will ever rise above these problems. And if we have forgotten the message of Psalm 67, that the other nations could enjoy our blessings if they would walk with God, if we have forgotten that message, it is because we have first neglected and forgotten our own walk with God. And we have somehow bought that terrible, erroneous, dishonest message that the blessings are contained solely in the money, the health, safety, and freedom. In which case, if those things go away, and they will for any of us as individuals, but if they also go away for the nation, and I fear that they will, I hope not, but I fear. You know, if I had to bet, I would say that China and India are competing to become the next nation to harbor the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I hope they both win. I also hope we don't lose. But this is the historical pattern, that a nation forgets its walk with God and the blessing departs and moves on. And if we thought that the blessing was only contained in the prosperity, in the health, and the safety, and the freedom, then when those things are gone, what blessing remains? And the answer would be none. We would find ourselves with empty hands, feet stuck in the mire. Oh, how much better to sing for joy. Not because we're prosperous, but because we walk with God. Not because we're healthy, but because we walk with God. Not because we are safe and free, but because we walk with God. And all these other things are only incidentals that have drawn us closer to Him and deepened our walk with God. And other nations could see that. Want to walk with God too. But it has to begin with us walking with God. And you have to ask yourself, am I? And maybe if you ask yourself the previous question, am I happy? And the answer is, not really. Not as happy as I'd like to be. Then maybe you need to reconsider the answer to this other question. Am I walking with God? Because there is blessing. If you need to strengthen that walk with God, no better time than now. That may require nothing but simple self-honesty and a determination that you can make right where you are, or it may require that you come forward and do something about your state before Him. Whatever is the case, we're going to have a moment of invitation.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.